Hello, Michelle.
Oh, hi, Ray. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you for asking.
I'm really nervous talking to you. I haven't rung you before. I listen to you all the time. I'm just interested and curious as how you prepare for a day like today. I listen to you all the time, and you start work early to prepare for your show, and now you've got to do... You call the football tonight, which is fantastic, which I'll be listening to.
That's very kind of you.
And then you get up and you do it all again tomorrow. What kind of routine do you follow? Do you go home and have some lunch and
Michelle, that's a most interesting question, because I actually, as I've got older, Michelle, as opposed to when I called that game back in 1994 and I was 39, obviously I have to prepare differently, because what I could do 22 years ago, I can't do now. So
I hear you, Ray.
So while I wasn't doing this type of program 22 years ago, what I my routine's been very much the same. The alarm goes off at 3:15. I get in at work at about 4:30, quarter to five, and I did that again this morning. I'll be out of here, you know, when the music starts a minute from 12, at about 60 seconds past then, I'll be in the car on the way home. I'm going to call in and see my mate the butcher and have a bite to eat with him near my home, Wayne the butcher. And then I'll get home by about 1:30. And, Michelle, I'll have what's known as a nana-nap.
I know those.
Put my head in the pillow and I'll have a sleep for an hour and a half, which I can do. I'm one of those fortunate people who can catch up. I can sleep anywhere, planes, before football. And then I'll get up about 3:30, have a shower, get ready. I'll probably leave home about 4:00 because I like to get to places early. I'll get it to ANZ, you know, 4:30 at the latest, I'd suspect, before all the people start to converge on the ground. I'll take my gear up to the broadcast box, which is on level 3 at ANZ. I'll set everything up, and our engineers will be there setting up the equipment. I'll check my headset. And then I'll come downstairs and walk across to the Novotel Hotel. We've got a competition we run, and we're going to run it in Brisbane in the future for our Sydney listeners, the girls' night out. I'll go and see the 30 young ladies who are making their way to the game as our guests tonight and say good day to them. And then about half an hour later, I'll make my way back to the ground. Mark Levy will host the coverage. I've only got a caller tonight. And I'll just talk to the boys out the back. I'll be yarn to Rabbits, probably, to Kenny Sutcliffe and some other old mates, and we'll sort of talk about other things other than football. And then about 8:00, I'll put the headsets on. When the game's over, Mark Levy will take over from me straight away so that I can jump in my car and be home by, hopefully, about 11. And the day will start exactly the same way on Thursday morning as it started on Wednesday morning. And then I'll have a very quiet Thursday afternoon and a very early Thursday night. So that's about it.
I was just curious.
Yeah. Well, it's not very exciting, but... when you get, look, I've done 60, well, this will be my 69th State of Origin tonight, I'm told, and the adrenaline takes over, just like it does for everyone else watching it, you know, and people start to get fired up at home and fired up at the ground, and the players get even more fired up, of course, as do the referees and other officials, but once that whistle goes and you start, you probably do it from memory. One of the things I'll do is I'll go through the teams, even though I know all the players individually, just the fact that I follow football, but I'll just go through the teams to make sure I know the numbering and things like that, and I'll do that for about 30 minutes before the game, between 7:30 and 8:00, but you sort of go on to autopilot and hope you don't bugger it up, if you'll pardon the expression.
No, I was just very curious, Ray, as to how you do it. And on one last final note, my late father was a butcher, and it's a proud, proud thing to do.
Yeah, well, Michelle, I'm like you. I'm the son of a butcher, you're the daughter of a butcher, and I have an affinity with butchers, and that's why I'm going to go and have lunch with my old mate Wayne the butcher today. I love butchers. I've never met a cranky butcher. If there's a cranky butcher out there, I haven't run into him or her.
No, my dad was pretty happy soul, so.
Yeah, so was my dad. He was an entirely different personality than me. He was quiet, measured, and he'd be scratching his head if you're on this earth now wondering how the damn hell his son got from being where he was in the housing commission house to what I do now. It's a strange old journey. But anyway, Michelle, I've really enjoyed talking to you, and thank you very much for inquiring as to what I'll be doing tonight. I appreciate your interest.
And thank you for taking the time, Ray.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a pleasure to talk to you. You sound like a lovely lady. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. You see, that's one of the reasons, to a certain extent, someone said something to me the other day. It may well have been the executive chairman. Roger called me Russell Tate. And I was talking about staff and someone being here late at night. I said, don't tell me about being here late at night. And this is something I admire about young Mark Levy and other young people that work here. Mark, more than happy to come in at short notice and work on me for the odd Saturday I might have off. But when we spoke early this week, I said, mate, I want to get home and get to bed. Can you, I mean, he had no reason to stay there apart from watching the match, but I said, when I finish, I want you to take over so I can get out of the place. Yeah, mate, do whatever you want. And it's refreshing to have young people working with you who have a work ethic and are more than happy to do it. And the advice I'd give to other young people who are aspiring to be better at what they do, whether it's people in the broadcast industry, and I'm starting to sound like an old bloke, but it's advice I'd give freely. And if you think that you haven't had much luck in climbing up the ladder, be it corporately or, you know, as a leading hand somewhere or wherever you may work, just work a little bit harder. Illustrate to the boss you're prepared to put in those extra yards, and you'll find that the luck might turn around.